Yakas. They were doing a sale, and I'm like, I'll buy this one. I got the small, and it's not very firm. So it's like literally a hot dog down your hallway. It's not that big.
Oh.
So it's like, oh, this is useless.
You only have a little horse cock?
No, I've got a big one. I sent you the photo, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got the, I think it's like the medium. It was one of the exotic erotics ones, the non-live cast.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that was, actually I got it last lift for WA I went to. Because I was going to get.
Are we recording now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So welcome to horse cock cast.
Yep. Anyways, let's.
No, keep that. You're talking about horse cock. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, Rahata was like, yo, when are we going to see the toys all interacting? And I'm like, well, give me some time. But yeah, don't buy butt toys in soft firmness because they're useless.
Oh, okay.
The more you know. So anyways, welcome to Knotcast, episode 346, Sympathy for the Devil. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we are back in One Piece after I have attended FWA.
Wah!
Wah! Now, unfortunately, Shiva is not here again. Because, as life conspires, she is in the hospital. She has posted this publicly and whatnot. So,
okay.
She is currently dealing with an infection that kind of cropped up out of nowhere, but she got to the ER real quick, and she's been in the hospital for a few days, and they're pumping her full of drugs. So we are again sans Chakat. I actually had people at FWA ask me, like, is Shiva still on the show? Yes, she's still on the show. It's just life has conspired to keep her off of it for the past 2 months or so.
Yeah. Like, and this happened, well, it doesn't help that we always take a break between, Christmas and New Year. And then the run-up to Fiesta is, like...
is a big deal.
Yeah.
So, oh, well, poor Shiva. She's not around. But, no, I went to FWA last weekend with Tyrion, and I had a really good time.
Yay!
I didn't party super hard, but what I did do was enjoyable, right? Like, I came out of the con feeling just real pleased with how it gone. So we left town on... this is going to be my little con report here, and we actually have some con report emails later on in the show. And I'm going to tell you about what I did, and we can...
I'm going to sit back and relax.
Yeah, we have our list of things, and it's like 3.5 pages of notes on my phone.
Yeah.
And if you're going to put your hand in your pants, Fuzz, I mean, go right ahead. It's not going to really freak me out.
It's just how I relax, like Al Bundy.
Yeah. That's a show that hasn't aged well.
You know, I haven't watched... Yeah, you know, all the... My wife is a total nag, kind of lazy bum kind of thing. Yeah, that's...
It's probably not aged very well.
That's not going to look real good in retrospect.
So, anyways, FWA. We left on Wednesday. We went from Dallas to about Shreveport.
I'm sorry, I just noticed. Does your pony character have a little bow in his tail?
Yeah, he has a ribbon around his tail.
Oh, God, even your pony is gay.
Yeah, he's, like, canonically gay. Okay. Fuzz is referring to a small crocheted gift that I got from a fan many moons ago.
It's
Sandy.
Cute.
He's got a big poofy tail, and he has a blue ribbon at the base.
Oh, he's a big poof, all right.
Yeah, but it's this cute little adorable knitted, or actually it's crocheted plush, and yeah, my character has a blue ribbon at the base of his tail. Not like at the dock, but at the tip to keep it together.
Yeah. Sorry, I happened to just notice
you looked over and like, is your pony gay? Well, he's a big old homo horse. But
bye, little homo horse.
Homo horse hangout. So, anyways.
Yes.
Got to Shreveport, and we started listening to The Player of Games by Ian M. Banks. He'd gotten the audiobooks of, like, the first and second books in the Culture series by Ian M. Banks. And the first book is probably pretty skippable. Like, it's a 16-hour-long audiobook.
Oh, wow.
And there are some things that go on really fucking long.
Uh-huh.
And by the time we stopped, we gave up the ghost on the way back on Monday.
Yeah.
We were just, like, skipping ahead minutes at a time. Like, is this scene still going? Jesus Christ.
Oh, jeez.
Definitely listen to The Player of Games. You can probably skip Consider Plebis.
Okay.
Anyways, so we listened to
I'm not familiar with that universe. I've read one book of his. It was called The Wasp Factory, and it was his first science fiction novel.
It's a utopian, communist, socialist, post-scarcity utopia where humanity has basically fixed all their problems, and they're the culture, as the name of the group, is run by their AIs, and everybody lives on space, giant space vessels, billions in one machine occasionally, and it's a very cool, neat universe.
Cool.
It's like post-Star Trek, where most everybody gets along, where there's still wars and shit, but that's not flaw. But we did listen to it on the way there. Stayed overnight at La Quinta. I had enough points to get us a free night.
Oh, nice.
So we didn't have to pay an extra $100 plus tax to stay.
Cool,
saved you guys some money.
Appreciate it.
They had breakfast and whatnot and got back on the road and just basically drove a long ways. You can definitely tell when you get to Louisiana from Texas because the highways get way shittier.
Yeah, I know,
fast.
Right? It's like the state line is like almost visible in the quality of the highway.
Yeah, and the comment we made was like, are we going off the road? Have we lost our way? No, it's just the middle of the road. Sounds like a rumble strip.
Yeah.
But we passed through there, drove through Mississippi, drove through Alabama. Nothing major, stopping at road, you know, truck stops here and there, getting food, getting bathroom breaks and fuel. Nothing really major. Got there. We got to the con late Thursday and were able to get all our crap loaded in and get mostly set up before vendor hall was like, yo, get out.
Yeah.
So we got checked in, got our shit to the rooms, and just basically chilled the fuck out. It was nice. No major rush. There weren't any, like, parties going on, but there was fursuiters mingling. It was, like, the day zero of the con. They do have stuff going on Thursday, but we weren't there for it.
Yeah.
Friday morning, basically woke up, showered, got our shit together. We both got headed down to the vendor hall. I headed down first, continued setting up. Tyrion was a bro because I showered at night. He showered in the morning. He brought me coffee. We got everything all set up. And then prior to the start of sales, I went and spent probably the most money I've ever spent at a con in one transaction. So I went to the Dong Grotto. FWA does allow Dong sales, and they had representatives from basically all four fandom Dong manufacturers.
Yeah.
That's like Frisky Beast, Fetish Zone, Exotic Erotics, and Bad Dragon.
Right.
So my initial thrust was like, I'm going to get myself a toy. Mm-hmm. And I also really want a Bad Dragon sticker. I like their logo. It's nice and understated. You have to know what it is.
Yeah.
And I actually did stick it to the front of my PC case because I'm just a total furry.
It's kind of cute.
Yeah, it looks good.
I'm assuming that's Shuke's art, probably.
Yeah, it's just a real nice, smooth design.
Yeah.
And I'd actually never... So I've been looking at some of their printed rolls for a while and never... Didn't have a good context of scale, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're looking at a toy online, you haven't seen the physical thing. It's hard to tell just how big a thing is.
Yeah.
Like, is this small? Is this tight? Is it massive? You know, is it a cavern? And I actually ended up getting the Hazel from Bad Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit. And it's fucking huge. It's heavy. And it's just got an interesting interior. And it's a werewolf pussy. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I ended up spending $160 at that table. I got one of their shirts. They had a really cool, fun shirt design. It's basically the Bad Dragon. It just says Bad Dragon, but it's in kanji, and it's arrayed like the Kill la Kill logo.
Oh, okay.
So it has it's very anime-inspired looking thing, but it says Bad Dragon. I like that a lot. It has the little dragon design on like the back of the neck, I think. And I was pretty happy with that. I didn't really buy anything else. Friday night, they had a band in called Bit Brigade, and they played a little bit. I heard them some while I was going up to the room post-vendor hall, and then afterwards came down and was like, oh, they're still playing a little bit. That's cool. Ended up buying two of their CDs.
Oh.
They're just a video game-themed band that do remixes, live music, and whatnot. I got their Metroid and Castlevania mixes because those are two of my favorite game series music-wise. Just kind of then rested, like... Didn't party hard, I didn't go to any room parties this con. Like, I'm pretty lame that way.
I'm kind of the same. I mean, I'll go to room parties sometimes, but I won't really stick around very long.
Like, Tyrion went to a party briefly, and I was just like, I'm going to bed. And I did.
Yeah.
And I woke up, got down, got the table set up real early.
That's pretty much how Tyrion and I's relationship is. I'm going to a party, and I'm like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, and I made a really bad mistake on Saturday, though.
Oh.
So I went down in the morning, and I'm like, man, I need some fucking coffee. And I got the largest iced coffee that Starbucks has.
Mm-hmm.
And a Danish. And then Tyrion came down and was like, yo, you want anything from Starbucks? And I'm like, give me another fucking large-ass iced coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I drank both of them. Oh, my God. I was vibrating until, like, 5:30 p.m.
Your pupils fucking fully dilate. Like, you're seeing through time.
I had no problem being alert on Saturday.
It must be nice to actually have caffeine affect you. Like, it does. Well,
dude, it was like fucking 50 ounces of coffee minus the ice.
Yeah.
Like, an unhealthy amount of caffeine entered my bloodstream, and I felt kind of awful the entire day. Like, I was super awake and super alert, but also kind of twitchy feeling, and, like, my guts were like, yo, what the fuck did you do?
You suddenly became Zia behind the table. Like, here, yeah. Buy this book.
You want to buy this? Yes, this is good. This has smooth otters. Yes, otters. Delicious flat chest otters. Buy this one. It's got wolves. Wolfcock. Yeah. Ah.
Wolfcock. Ah.
Ran into some people that were fans. It was cool. People from the Telegram chat. It was nice.
Cool.
That evening, walked over to the mall, had some food, came back, had some rum and cokes, went and wandered around a bit. Mm-hmm. So I got to give major props to the art department at Foix and the game room department.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, that con is generally, like, from what I saw at the convention, minus the fact that I barely saw, like, roaming staffers, which I have no insight into, like, that. That's just my personal view.
They were playing hide and seek.
Yeah.
I don't know. Playing
the con was just seemed really well put together this year. It had been a number of years since I'd last been, but, like, their mm-hmm. art department this year was super on point. They had just tons of cool shit. They had standees that were, like, furry versions of other characters. They had a Nick and Judy that were Sly Cooper and Carmelita Fox.
I'm not familiar with Carmelita Fox. Is she from the Sly Cooper?
She's from the Sly Cooper game. She's okay. The antagonist / love interest.
Oh, okay.
Of Sly. And they had a bunch of other stuff.
She's the Missy to his doctor.
Yeah. Rukus did a Assassin's Creed wolf standee.
Nice.
That was nice. And they had a bunch of just, like, art things around the con that I thought were really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Fursuit dance comp. I don't know if that was Sunday or Saturday. I went in there briefly, mm-hmm. and it was, again, that room was super well produced. They had all these lights. They had multiple cameras.
Mm-hmm.
They had this person cosplaying as Cruella de Vil doing shit in the high heels and coat.
Yeah, that was... Her Twitter is either it's Brenda Banks or that's Brenda Banks. I don't remember.
All right, but I was impressed.
And she was like the MC?
I think she was like the MC, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like jumping around in heels and shit. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first dance comp was pretty cool, what I saw of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went over to their video game room. And their video game room at FTBA has always been really well done. It's really big. They have multiple, like, MAME arcade machines. They had a bunch of people just pool their resources and bring shit.
Yeah.
And the thing that they had, like, an Artemis Bridge Simulator set up. They had a VR set up. Somebody brought their PS4 and they could play Resident Evil 7 VR, which is not my idea of fun, but, you know, whatever. They had a bunch of Smash Brothers set up. Oh, so
the PS4 does VR?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it's called PSVR. It's pretty good. Like, mm-hmm. it's inexpensive. It's the least expensive VR that is actually not a phone.
Right.
But it's all right, yeah.
Okay. I imagine that's probably scary as fuck playing Resident Evil game.
Yeah. And you can
turn around and zombie in your face kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow.
So what really thrilled me, though, was in addition to all these badass video games, they had some pinball machines. Like, they had a really great setup and... God, I wish I had the budget for that. I kind of wish I did.
Well, their theme was actually game on this year.
Yeah, their theme was video games this year, but they've always had a really good game room.
Yeah.
And again, I've said this before that I think I really want to start, like, contact an outside group to help me run video games next year mm-hmm. that will bring in shit like that.
Yeah.
If they give me a big enough room. Because we're big enough at this point. But
we'll be over 3,000. Wait, were we over 3,000?
We may hit... 38,000. 3,325 was the attendance for Fiesta this year. And they crossed 4,200. Yeah, they crossed 4,200 for Fall. They had a good increase this year. And this day has plenty of room to grow in that space, too.
Mm.
But the game room was really cool. But the thing that really thrilled me was they had a hacked-ass version of Poppin' Music running on a PC. And they had the...
So like, I'm not familiar with Poppin'
okay,
Music.
Poppin'
so.
Music is a very obscure, in the West, music rhythm game put out by Konami. So they did Beatmania,
Drummania. Was this the one that was supposed
Mania.
To be like a competitor to DDR?
But no, DDR it's all made by the same company.
Oh, okay. All right.
And like, so Konami did like Drummania, Guitar Freaks. So it was like a, basically, they did a lot of the precursor stuff to like Rock Band. So they had drum, guitar, they had Parapara, which is a dancing game where you have to move your hand through various sensors, infrared sensors. They did Beatmania, which is a DJ thing, seven keys plus a turntable. And DDR, but one that really never got over here was Poppin' Music, which is a 9-button, like, the controller's about as wide as this table is across us, and there's 9 big-ass buttons arrayed 5 and 4, and it's super colorful and featured bunches of anime songs and stuff, and it never came over here in the U.S., but someone had gotten it, a hacked arcade version running on a PC and had the controller, and it was so complex that nobody else was touching it. So I had free run of the machine for like a half hour plus.
So how did you know how to play it? Just
because I have played it. I had a friend of mine many, many moons ago who actually had a import home version of the game with the fuck huge controller that I had literally not seen this game in the flesh in 15 years probably. No, maybe not that long. Maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh my God, they have it and it's in good condition and I'm going to play the shit out of this. And I did.
Cool.
And it was from a few years back, but it had like some anime themes that I recognized and some other music that I'd never really heard, but I was like semi-familiar with. I never played, but was familiar with. Because I used to be really big into the rhythm music games.
Yeah.
And all of Konami's stuff kind of cross-pollinates stuff that's in DDR, will end up in Mania, will end up in Guitar Freaks, will end up in everything else. So
they're
like, we've licensed this song. We're not going to put it in 5 different games.
Makes sense, yeah.
So I got to play that for about half an hour uninterrupted, which was a lot of fun because I wasn't good at it.
And everyone else watching like, that's what you do.
Like, that's fucking complex. And and I didn't feel bad because there wasn't anybody else who was, like, owning it.
Yeah.
It wasn't super good. This was one of those things where people weren't familiar with it, so everyone was bad.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel bad sucking.
Right.
That was kind of like a couple years back. I think Darius Kupa brought his hacked version of Beatmania, which is the DJ plus 7 key game, and he played that and had that at the con at Fiesta. So. Like, I don't know how they got it working without a connection to EMUs, but good on them.
Mm.
That was a lot of fun. That was basically my Saturday night. Then I went to bed and woke up Sunday, did the same general thing. And then I found artist Rika has some good shit.
Yeah.
Some ultra porn. Oh, yeah.
some of the ultra porn.
Well, it's like, this is like 4 different... Like, this has, like, at least 4 different, 5 different fetishes in it in one picture. And it's, like, coherent and not disgusting. Yeah! But, yeah, artist name is Rika. If you look at my FA, you can see her my favorites of it.
Yeah, R-I-K-A. She's pretty well known.
And she's local to... She was here at Fiesta, and I didn't see her stuff then.
Because
I was kind of in the VidjuCave.
Yeah, I was barely at Fiesta. Like, I followed her for years on FA,
yeah.
I think.
I didn't... Hadn't heard of her until I looked and ended up talking to her table dude a bit because he was actually like he engaged with me when I was looking. And I was like, I will talk to you then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will spend money at your booth. I think I spent a total of like 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, all considered, like, it's funny. I only spent like $250 total, and 20 of that was for picking up stuff from someone else.
Yeah.
And that was still like the most I've ever spent at a furry convention in a long time.
So when did you pick up the Admiral?
The Admiral was Sunday.
Okay.
So, Rukus did a... What's the name of the character? Luther?
Yes.
So, comic character is in Red Lantern. And is also in books.
Several of the novels that we published.
So, she basically helped design a Wolfcock dildo.
So order the books. He's in Heretic from forplanet.com, and you can sit and read the books while you're waiting for the knot to go down on the abnormal toy.
Which is, an inflatable, that would be cool, but it's not.
Right, but it is like a 350-page book, so yeah. You've got time.
So yeah, I ended up getting, like, I only got a few things total, but I spent, like, I'm very happy with what I bought.
Yeah.
It's 'cause, like, two sex toys, two CDs, and an ultra porn matted print that I have since hung up in the bedroom.
Nice.
Because... yeah.
Yeah.
Though it was funny, my parents came over yesterday. They were in town to buy supplies, and I like...
Oh, he's a big fella.
No. I went to the bedroom and like took it off the wall, set it inside my luggage, my little suitcase, just in the off chance they're like, yo, we both need to use the restroom. Can I use yours?
Geez, son, what is this nail here for? It's like you had a picture up that you took down.
That wolf looks really happy. He's... why is he howling? Oh, jeez, that girl's very blushy. But, yeah. It was a good time. It was pleasant. There was only, like, maybe... we didn't have really booth barnacles that bad. Dust Sargent was a fucking hero and brought us sandwiches on Friday and Sunday.
Oh, that was nice. Huh?
Saturday, they had, like, a little soiree with cheese and mini cheesecake things, and so both Tieran and I took turns and got up that, so we weren't really hungry.
We haven't eaten in 8 hours. Oh, that's 20 cheesecake bites. That's supposed to feed her.
Yeah, those things ain't cheap. Mm. They're sold per piece by a catering. But anyways, it was just a very pleasant time. Sunday night, we kind of capped it out with some food at the bar again. We saw Drenth and his friend of his. And just a real pleasant time. And I went up to the room, chilled out, went to bed. We got everything in the car real quick Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Sito Neko Neko. She and her husband are good people. They're vendors at Fiesta and
Nightmare. Yeah, I recognize the name.
Yeah, she normally has plushies. She's basically first inside the door at Fiesta each year.
Okay.
But
that's what I've seen in her name on the deal. Yeah,
and she makes plushes and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're nice. They're really good people. And she was cool and let me borrow their mini cart because good fucking luck getting a luggage cart on Sunday at a hotel.
Yeah.
So let's borrow her cart. We got it done and
get her done.
We got out of town 30 minutes ahead of schedule. And then the long road home began.
But you stayed at the hotel Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if you remember if you'd split it or not.
No, we did not split the road home. We were like, we can do it in one go. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and I mean, it's long, but it's doable.
Well, it was going to be like an 11-hour drive that turned into about a 15-hour drive because of a couple delays.
That always fucking happens with Atlanta. I don't know what it is. Every time I would go, it would be like, oh, Google says it's an 11 and a half hours. 15 hours later, you're like, fuck, when will this nightmare end?
Yeah.
And there's always construction somewhere between here and there.
Yeah. It been just like, oh, we got to get gas. Oh, we got to, let's get some food. Mm-hmm. Got to make a pit stop. And then the real kicker at the end is like, Longview tried to kill me again.
Yeah.
So many moons ago, you and I were going to at Foix.
Mm-hmm.
It was last year I went. It was at the Westin. So 4 years ago, I think. And
no, it was a lot longer than that.
Okay. Well, in any event,
because we lived in our house 4 years.
Oh no, that was when it was in the hotel connected to the current one, not the Westin.
Yeah.
Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Long time ago.
in a fur fandom far away, we skidded while driving in the dark in Longview. We needed fuel. It was raining. We were loaded down the books, and we really fucked up your front axle.
Yeah.
And that was
the rear axle.
Yeah. And that was the genesis of the term fat and suspicious, and it was a hell of a time. And this time... Tieran and I were heading westbound. We were just ahead of just like one exit ahead of where we nearly died the first time. And we get the push notification from the National Weather Service going, holy shit, tornado watch in this area, take cover.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, we're going to stop and get off the road, and look, there's a Denny's. So we go to the Denny's and get inside, and the TVs are all, like, showing, holy shit, nasty weather just south of the freeway. Tornadoes, holy fuck. Ah. And all the restaurant staff are looking super pensive, as well you should.
Yeah.
And Tiered and I get inside during a lull in the rain, and then it's just going down. We said, well, we needed to eat dinner anyway. So we stopped and we made our order. And they managed to cook our order and bring us our food, and they set it down, and then lights go out. Power goes out for the entire block.
Yeah.
And thankfully, their emergency lights kicked on. So we were just like, well, okay, we're gonna eat our food and hope that a tornado doesn't kill us. But if a tornado does come, there's like the freezer and the kitchen area is reinforced.
Yeah.
So it was better to do that than to be on a road and maybe end up in a rain veil or anything like that. So we had our food in the dark and basically just like
eat our food in the dark.
Well, it was nice. There was another couple. There was a young couple that was there, and they'd gotten a glass of water. And so what they did is they turned the LED light on their phone, like the flashlight mode, and set the glass of water on top of their phone.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was a flat-bodied phone, and so they made a little table lamp that way. Because the light diffuses through the ice and the water to make a little glow around them. And I was like, that's really smart.
That is cool.
But we ate in the dark, and since they didn't have cash register or anything, we were just like, yo, here's $40. Good luck, dudes. You won't be making any tips the rest of the night anyway, so here's our generosity.
God be with you. Yeah, like, $40.
Here's $40. Good luck, kids.
We hope you survive, yeah.
And at that point, we just got back home. The road was clear, and the rain mostly stopped at that point. Like, after Longview, it cleared up, and we got home, and I went to bed.
Yeah.
It was nice. Got home, Panther was waiting, went to bed, it was great. And that was basically the end of FWA. Like, I had a good time, it was a lot of fun. I hadn't had a chance to do the Booth Winch thing in a while.
Yeah.
And I found my badge.
Yeah.
After the fact. My Fur Planet Booth Winch badge. But I'll have it for HavenCon.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Looks like we did pretty well. For FWA. And the only downside is Tieran has got the crud. So he's kind of sick as a dog right now. He's chugging the Dayquil.
Yeah, basically. I evaded that stuff, I guess.
But I think he had an okay time otherwise. So that's nice.
So I sent that picture of, I'm a unicorn, to someone else.
Oh, dear.
And their reply is, my God, I am so proud.
Is anyone I know?
Probably.
Okay.
I'll tell you at the break.
All right.
but it was a really fun time. Other than that, so one of the things, now we're moving off the fall topic, we're going to two more things, then we get to the real meat of this week's episode, RMFC. So hang in there a little bit longer, kids. So in the culture books, all the ships have really fun names. It's like the GSV, Of Course I Still Love You, mm-hmm. and the Unfortunate Conflict of Evidence, like as a name of a warship.
Yeah.
Little Rascal, Just Read the Instructions, stuff like that. So one of the things that they've allowed in the Elite Dangerous, the new patch dropped, is you can name your ships.
So let me just tangentially note this here. I also read the new John Scalzi book recently. Did you guys happen to listen to that on the audiobook? I noticed that Tieran has it.
We only listened to Player Games and the first little bit of Consider Plebis.
Okay. This is The Collapsing Empire by Scalzi. And all the ships have kind of names like that, too. There's one called Yes, Sir, That's My Baby.
Nice. So my courier ship, which is unarmed. It's a small unarmed freighter that has really good thrusters. I will outrun you and get away.
Yeah.
Is called the Well Done Steak. It is because it's not what you want, but it's what you got. It's a well-kitted little ship, but has a good jump range, but it wasn't what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
But I have a war-fit Imperial Clipper, which is the middle size. It looks like – go look it up online, kids. Elite Dangerous Imperial Clipper, and it is the mid-size of the three faction ships.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like if Apple built a starship, white and chrome and sleek.
Yeah.
And it's war-fit. And it's called the Please Reconsider. So I'm going to probably buy a ship paint kit for that just because maybe get the bright color, make it like bright purple. it's the what was it? General Contact Vehicle. Yeah, it's like GCV Please Reconsider because you can totally interdict me, but you might want to reconsider. And so that's fun. Other thing, Thor Ragnarok looks fucking cool.
Yes. Savern finally got to see the trailer.
I saw it drop. Both it and, like, the really kind of gnarly trailer for, like, the Pony movie had dropped on the same weekend.
Oh, would it do the Fresh Prince song?
No, that's the season seven trailer.
That's right, yeah.
This one is just like a 30-second teaser that has some of the Toon Boom animation, but they post-processed it really badly. So it looks like Rainbow Dash hasn't slept in like 4 days because it crushed the shadows.
Oh.
So she looks like she has horrifyingly dark bags under her eyes.
Oh my God.
And so people did some fan art of this as like her with a giant ass mug of coffee and the giant rain bags under her eyes. But
jeez, they really don't give a fuck, do they?
They fucked it up and like the director was like, "Oh no, it doesn't look like this in the movie, I promise, guys."
Oh.
But
anyway, Thor Ragnarok. Oh my God, the titles and the rainbow bright effects and it's so cool looking.
Yeah, I saw that and was just like, oh my God, I am so sold on this.
Yeah.
So it's Chris Hemsworth being Chris Hemsworth. They've got they're totally doing the full Marvel cosmic idea.
Yeah.
So like Thor's always been a Marvel cosmic book. It's dealing with like the multiverse and you know, the Asgardians are not gods. They're, like, super powerful aliens with high magic, technology stuff. And they've always interacted with other races and species and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically them taking the Asgard setting and totally throwing it into the same greater Marvel universe as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Also, Jeff Goldblum is involved.
Yes.
And
he's clearly the same. It looks like the same race as the Collector who Benicio del Toro plays in Guardians.
And it's like Asgard gets its shit kicked in. He gets captured, loses hammer, stuff like that. And then Hulk shows up in his War Hulk costume. Oh, I know this guy. We're coworkers or friends from work or whatever.
I know him. He's a friend from work.
but just the logo and the music in the trailer, like I am totally down with them doing the cheesy ass. Like 80s aesthetic. Like this is a straight out Jack Kirby story. The logo is very 80s, and including, and I was discussing this with Zap, they have a production shirt which is straight up Jack Kirby.
Uh-huh.
Like it's just that design and it's super great.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up and show it to you, Fuzz.
Cool.
Because it's just good shit.
I was saying earlier, like, Thor has always been my favorite of the MCU universe movies. Let me see.
That's like the internal logo.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, and that's a straight-up Jack Kirby, like, mechanical design. All the colors, all the random lines.
Jesus, yeah.
And
it's the art department t-shirt.
Yeah,
the art department
t-shirt. And it's like, hell yeah. Just look that up.
And I love how just uncompromising they've been. They're like, yes, this is Thor. He has a massive cape and long flowing hair. And there's a fucking rainbow bridge. And we're going to make it look awesome. And
I love the logo. It just looks, it makes me happy to see the style.
So, yeah. Just, it's so perfect.
I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, this is the standee that Rukus has.
Oh, nice.
It was the Assassin's Creed. There was a little Wolf Midna from Twilight Princess. Oh, the... So, one of the nice things they did, the vendor hall was laid out, like, with a map.
Forbidden Grotto.
Each road was named, like, Foxtail Lane, Minotaur Way.
Yes.
The Dong Groom was titled the Forbidden Grotto, and you had to show ID to get into it.
Do you remember what for Planet's street name was?
I don't.
It
was, like, I think it was, like, Foxtail Lane.
Yay!
But there was four rows vertically, and on the back row, and the front row had a name, and... Like, they had street signs-looking things.
Yeah.
That were nice. But the Forbidden Grotto was the Dong Cave. Yeah.
The term I had used when they had that at Midwest was the Penetration Station.
Nice. Oh, I was like, why are there only two of them? Because I actually took the time and went around and took photos of every single standee and every single piece of, like, incidental art they had around. I was super happy with
WorkCons need to do stuff like that. Like, I really liked what Anthrocon did last year, where each hotel had its own fursona.
Yeah.
So they had a standee of the character, and they had T-shirts for sale in the courtyard. Was there anything else you want to talk about before the break?
No, we're coming up on 36 minutes, though, because we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to play you guys a jingle, and then we're going to talk about Rocky Mountain FurCon. I hope you guys are ready.
We'll be back after this commercial break.
So you were served with a C&D.
Call the Badger, the boozy barrister.
Banned from an event which has ceased to be.
Call the Badger, the boozy barrister.
Problems with the board of your nonprofit. Ignored too long can be catastrophic.
As long as you pay his non-negotiable deposit,
he'll stick to the facts and cut through the gossip. Okay, so his language is a little salty.
Call the Badger, the boozy barrister.
He'll have a beverage, single malty.
Or at least, you know, fermented, whatever.
He's our favorite fandom crasher, the boozy barrister Badger.
The boozy barrister may or may not be a badger and is not legally bound to this species. Representation guaranteed once your check clears. Offer does not apply to sovereign citizens.
And we're back. We hope you enjoyed that word from our sponsor.
They're not actually giving us money, but we thought it was really funny.
Yes.
That was by Rhubarb Bear, is that?
That's Rhubarb the Bear.
He gave us permission.
He's part of that. He was one of the members of the big Anthro music group that we had at Fiesta. I don't remember the name of it now. Do you remember it?
No.
It was like him and Cosmic and Fox and Pepper and Amadia. And Ebel, and it's like,
you know, I don't know.
Banthro.
Okay, that's what it cool. was.
Yeah, but he's also written a couple of plays. He's been around the fandom forever, actually, and he's done all kinds of music and stuff. He's been a guest here and there and everything. But we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, the show notes will be kind of thick this week with links and stuff.
Right. But check out his stuff. It's good stuff. And I asked him if we could put that in the show, and he said yes. So, you know,
we have
permission. So thank you for that.
So Rocky Mountain FurCon formerly was going to happen in August. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain FurCon is a con that I have attended a whole once. I was sick the entire time with altitude sickness. And would have been cool coming back with, except for, you know, all the drama that had been swirling around it.
Yeah.
Last year there was the Furry Raiders room block situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year it just kind of came to a head. Obviously, people are very sensitive when it comes to Nazi furs in the fandom. And as much as the Furry Raiders would like to tell you, come on, we're not fucking blind. So, the genesis, like, the entirety, like, of the public thing with this. So, person by the name, goes by Dio, the Tasmanian Devil, Dio Tas Devil. Who is now just the devil to certain people, was basically like, lol, I'm going to punch some fucking Nazis, right? Mm. And somebody...
As you do. I mean, it's been an American tradition since the 40s.
And I think it was tangentially related to the discussion about Rocky Mountain FurCon, but someone then replied to her basically like, oh, sure it'd be a damn shame if you get shot. And it's like, what? It's like, yeah, you know, just because you support the Second Amendment, the hotels and the cons sure don't, so leave that shit at home.
Yeah.
And basically it was someone threatening to bring a gun to the con.
Yeah.
To shoot anybody that's going to mess with the Nazis. So this is obviously, it starts with somebody like defending, like, oh, if you're a Nazi.
Can I just say what a cuck that person is for bringing a gun to a fist fight?
Yeah.
You know, you're not.
What a fucking wimp.
You can't go up against somebody throwing punches yourself. You're going to. Now, for a total pussy like me, because I'm a fat fuck. Yeah, okay, I could see pulling out a gun and shoot, but you're supposed to be a big, strong Nazi.
Aren't
fucking
you part of the master race?
Master race and shit like that. Surely you can go one-on-one in a fucking fist fight.
What a wimp.
Pussy.
God. So, this wouldn't have really gone anywhere, except for the person formerly at the top. The organization still legally exists. Like, the Mid-Atlantic, like, MACCC or whatever it was, still mm-hmm. exists as a legal organization because they have to pay all their taxes and shit before they can dissolve.
Right.
The art...
Oh, I want to put a big asterisk, allegedly, in front of everything we say here, so that, just in case these crazy fucks decide to try and sue us. Or
oh, yeah, whatever. Like I'll just be like, yo, this dude's a fucking soft sit, and the judge will be like, lol, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Anyways... So an article got posted to Dogpatch Press,
yes.
And then Flayra.
Yes.
And the Dogpatch Press article had a whole bunch of really interesting stuff in it. Like, mm-hmm. you should totally check them out in the show notes. There's going to be links to all these places that have posted articles.
Yeah.
Or at least the furry ones and Boozy Bat and what? Not Boozy Badger.
Boozy Barrister.
There we go.
Yes.
And also
who is
Nerd
a Badger?
He's a badger now.
He's a badger
because
now.
That's what he said he would be.
I'm like, you're kind of doomed if you've already got your animal picked out. You're like, man, if I'm ever going to be a furry, I'll be a badger. You're like, ah, we got you.
We got you hooked up. So they managed to find this person's docs and send them a C&D, a faux legalese cease and desist with flowery language and random bolding and...
You know the funniest fucking thing... Sorry to interrupt you. You know the funniest fucking thing about this? A C&D is basically a form letter. You can get, like, form C&Ds online or paid $20 from some legal website or something like that. It's not hard to issue a C&D. And they fucked it up. Like, they were like, we're going to write it from scratch using our crazy, done learned the laws myself language. And just, I'm like...
And, like, random bolding, random capitalization.
Yeah.
All this shit. They name-dropped a bunch of random people as being part of, like, a potential class action because of your crimes. Crimes? Crimes? Who was it? It's like,
did Greg write this?
And the thing was just full-on crazy.
Yeah, oh, and they cited BLFC saying, you know, you could have potentially damaged BLFC. And BLFC tweeted, like, yo, look, we don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
We got nothing to do with this.
We got nothing to do with this.
Yeah. So BLFC, they're fine in this regard.
Keep that taint away from us.
But they were like, oh, you've damaged the con, you've damaged this, you've threatened the free raiders, this, that, and the other. And two, like, they were trying to blame Dio.
Dio for,
like,
getting two's show pulled from AnthroCon.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, that was fully internal. Like, no, that was an inside job.
Yeah.
As in, like, the board was like, yeah, this guy's
the whole sovereign citizen thing is, like, Tyrion and I didn't really, like, we'd sort of heard about it in, like, sort of a I'm not saying there's aliens sort of conspiracy theory kind of thing, like, just in the background over the years.
I don't need,
like, you do. Like, I know there are people that believe the Earth is flat. I don't need to read about them.
Yeah.
It's like, sort of the same thing.
I don't think Last Podcast has done a Sovereign Citizens episode.
Oh, they should.
It's like, that's like one of those.
And they should start with this.
We should totally email them. Be like, dudes.
Dudes, check this shit out. No, I don't know if we... Well,
anyways.
Fucking RMFC's already been in, like, two or three newspapers now because of this. We don't need any more. But, like, Tyrion said he lost himself in, like, he lost, like, 30 minutes in a Wikipedia hole the other night reading about the sovereign citizen thing and could not believe how fucking crazy it is. And then I was like, isn't it like it means this? And he's like, oh, you think so? It's so much worse.
Nice. The whole situation and like signing it in red ink at the bottom with a blood red thumbprint is like the ultimate form of ID, because red ink means the blood of the land, blood of the people.
And yeah, and all the random capitalizations are bolding is some sort of secret language thing that they believe means a thing.
It's their own little fucking bit of chaos magic. They believe that like if they say the magic words, they can gain the power over the law. Like
it's really out there.
Yeah. So this guy was a sovereign citizen, and then that also discounts the whole sex offender thing.
Yeah.
With the guy at the very top being a sex offender. And then he had his other pal who has his website full of new age weird bullshit and dolphin vaginas.
And his FA has his own made-up identification papers and stuff like that.
Like, the people at the top here, at least the two named individuals in these articles, are just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, impressively so. And I, again, most people wouldn't know about this, but apparently this has been kind of a known issue for a while. Like, I had heard tangentially about the sex offender thing, and so that's public record.
The sex offender thing I knew about because I remember I kind of keep track of like what cons are coming about and up and coming. And I was like, because we also try to talk about it. Oh, there's a new con in so and so. You should check it out and check it out. Speaking of which, there's a new con starting up in New Jersey because FAU is in I think Virginia now, but New Jersey's looking to start up a new con. Okay. Anyway, check it out. But, like, I remember reading, like, this guy was the head of RMFC, the actual con chair, for either the first year or the first year and the second year. I don't remember which one. But, and his sex offender status was known to everyone on the staff at the time. But then it became public.
Yeah.
And we've actually cited this in the past as being a good thing that he did, was that he stepped down as con chair so that the con didn't take the bullet for it. And we had done this in reference to something else that collapsed. I think it was when FC had their con chair issue.
Yeah.
We were like, this guy should fucking step down before he takes out FC, which he eventually did. And I assumed that that guy stepped down and out of the organization. Soren took over chair and has been chair ever since. And I thought that was the end of it. But apparently, this guy was still the head of the organization that owns RMFC.
Yeah.
So he's still effectively the owner of RMFC.
Yeah, and like, there had been efforts apparently to try to remove him from the board, and he'd been blocked every time. Yeah. And like,
and this whole furry raider thing, like, I talked to someone who's former staff, and I was like, why the fuck don't they just get rid of the raiders on their staff? Like, this is not a difficult concept. Like, everyone knows these people are causing problems. They're being fucking shitty wannabe Nazi edgelords. They shouldn't be on staff at the very least. The guy was like, it's really complicated. Some of them are in key positions. They're so entwined with the organizational structure of RMFC that you can't just pull them out.
Yeah.
And that is apparently exactly the fucking case.
Yeah, and basically the ultimatum, apparently, and this is retweets from like Chip Fox and other people as well, with like pictures of logs, basically that Soren, now former con chair, was basically like, look, you get out and you get the furry raiders out or the con dies. And they essentially replied, do it, faggot.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And the con goes poof. Because, like, it had to come down to this public, like, firestorm of shaming to make them try to do something. And then when they refused, he was like, all right, well, fuck it. Now, apparently the issue, like, with the threats of someone going to bring a gun to the con, the hotel was like, yo, you need to have a City of Denver police detail. And that would have cost them a lot of money. And, like, so that is legit as far as anybody knows. And, yeah, Like, if you have someone threatening to bring a gun to your con, then, yeah, you're going to have to deal with the city. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'd cost $20,000. Probably not, but whatever. And so...
Depends how many officers they felt they needed to have. Because I know I think Fiesta was like $500 a night to have a cop in Campeses to make sure people weren't, like, fucking in the back room or something like that. It wasn't an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah, it's like, they probably were like, you need to have a dozen officers on site at all times or something stupid like that. I'm like, no.
The fucking governor of Colorado needs to call in the National Guard to storm the Marriott Tech Center.
But basically, the con was a keg ready to go, a powder keg ready to go, and it went in a very spectacular manner. And, like, Dio has gotten nothing but, like, has gotten a lot of support. And the fandom has really come together and supported artists who have lost their money. Because, look, at this point... In their final, well, fuck you, I didn't do this, this is all your fault. Their letter, which was just the shittiest thing, they literally blamed everybody but themselves for this situation.
Yeah, that's one thing I'd kind of, and I actually apparently, like, it was signed by Soren. I don't know if he wrote it in a vacuum. I'm kind of suspecting that he had to take a very... middle of the road, shit on everything kind of position.
Yeah, like
in case he gets, because like these two chuckle fucks still own the company.
Yeah,
until it's actually dissolved.
And it was one of those things where it's like everyone in the situation's kind of bad, but Soren is kind of the least bad.
Well, and all the staff members that to do with.
Oh yeah, I mean there's plenty of innocents involved here too. Conventions are. Hundreds of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like... But these were the people at the very fucking top.
Yeah.
Who were just compromised. And like you said, the con was riddled with raiders.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm sure there's people on staff who aren't. And
you're talking about the registered sex offender owner, their batshit fucking crazy legal advisor, and the con chair. Like, the three...
The three people principals. At the top in this story. It's just... impressive that it did finally come down. This is one of those things you got to keep your house fucking clean when it comes to cons.
Yeah, now everything we talked about so far, this was covered on the Dog Patch Press article. Over on the Flara article is the entirely different issue
of apparently that con has not been a 501c3 since 2011 or 2012.
Yeah,
like they lost their nonprofit status and had still been presenting themselves as such for a number of years. So if you, as an attendee, made a big donation to the con and tried to write that shit off on your taxes, whoops, odds are it won't come back to bite you. But it's one of those things where the con had been misrepresenting itself.
Yeah, odds are the IRS would hold the con responsible for that.
Yeah.
They don't tend to try to go after individuals like to that
and
degree.
It would be such a petty amount in any event.
Yeah.
But that's a major thing, and... they have also claimed elsewhere that they did manage to get their tax situation fixed up, but they still misrepresented themselves as a 501c class thing.
Yeah.
Then because this blew up so big and so fast, it's also gotten – so we mentioned the Boozy Barrister, the Nerd and Tie, but it also showed up not only in the paper.
Yeah, the local Denver paper.
But on the local news. It showed up on the local television news.
Oh, I didn't know about that part yet. I'm not surprised, really.
I mean, conventions are big business, and they're a fun, like, quirky city life thing that people like to cover.
Like, if some shit went down at Anthrocon, you could bet it would be all over the Pittsburgh news because they're such a massive, integral part of that city.
And, like, FWA wasn't nearly as big, but it's still, like, yo, this city event that had been happening for a while.
Well, not FWA.
I mean, not FWA, RMFC.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure if something happened at FWA, that would be exciting for Atlanta, too, because there's a lot of people that come to
Furry FWA. Party too hard, film at 11.
It's like, Furry manages to somehow make it over the extra fuck-up, anti-fuck-up railings and fall 500 stories to his death.
That's a minus -3 awesome points for the balcony incident.
Yeah,
huh?
But It's sad for the people in the area because there's plenty of good furs in Colorado who've lost their convention.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people that were trying to, you know, they have their own meets and keep shit raider free and whatnot.
The article on Flera now has 180 comments.
Jesus. And
we're going to read them all, so strap it up.
No. Remember, don't read the comments, kids. Do not read the comments. Oh, that's a penis. So I added my AD account.
Oh, I thought it was just Panther walked by, just started fucking helicoptering at the door.
No, I think he went to bed. But anyways, okay. No, I added my AD to TweetDeck.
Yeah.
So I have, like, my two accounts and then my AD account. It's like, oh, someone just posted their dick. And it popped up on my PC screen over there.
Nice. That was me. I was doing that.
Right, oh, okay. Right under okay,
the,
Fuzz.
You might recognize the underside of your podcasting table.
Oh, okay. And that's cool because your phone's on top of it. Oh, you have a cock drone. So on the upside, there is another group coming in that's trying to set up a furry con. Like, their initial name was, like, Mile High Fur Con. They're changing it around to be Denfer.
Yeah, I joined their Telegram group. One of the first things that myself and a couple other people pointed out is that FC has a trademark on FurCon.
Mm.
Now, they will license it out to groups that aren't complete fuck-ups because they really did it just as sort of a brand protection thing.
Yeah.
That's why Rocky Mountain Fur Con and Indy Fur Con are things they've probably paid to license the term Fur Con.
And FC's like, fuck.
But you know, it's also a good idea to just come up with something else as well.
Yeah,
I like the idea of Denfer.
The situation is interesting on my end.
Yeah.
Because the person at the top is also the person who was at the top and has just recently stepped down as being chair and handed that to their co-chair,
mm-hmm.
to be primary chair, of two pony cons and apparently an anime con in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So the top level has the experience and probably the money, and they're trying to set things up in 2018. I'm going to have to do a bit more research on my own side of things to see how full-throated a support I can do, but there is a convention that they're trying to set up for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Colorado furs are not completely in the lurch.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see. I'm sure something will happen out there.
Yeah. You know, they just need to vet the ground staff real well and keep out the Nazis. That's really the important part.
Like, God, how fucking difficult is it to just not be a completely shitty person, you know? And I saw somebody say this on Twitter. It's like, didn't it seem like 5 years ago everybody sort of agreed that fascism was a bad thing? Like, where the fuck did things go wrong, you know, that now you're like, yeah, Nazis, not so good. And now that's apparently a controversial statement. It's fucking crazy.
People are dumb.
Yeah, they are.
So, let's see.
Oh, God, some shithead got in here, like, trying to defend them, and then there's
in the Telegram group?
No, Flarus comments.
Oh, of course. It's like, why can't you respect everybody? Because I don't have to respect fascists and people who think Nazis are cool. Because fuck you.
Yeah, it's just so fucking stupid.
Like, I'm going to just be unapologetically, nah, fuck you, to that entire little clan.
Pretty much.
Oh, they posted their butt, too.
Are they cute?
They're alright.
Not my type.
No, it's just the kind of hipstery, but they got a nice cock.
Damn, yeah.
Anyways,
not a bad cop.
Random aside. So, we do have...
So I'm amused to looking at the foreign here. Anyway, yes.
Okay, goodness.
So,
let's see how far back... they send it twice? Okay, we're going to stop and save again because we need to look at our inbox real quick, and we'll be right back. Okay, so we just had to do a quick review of our inbox real quick before we wanted to get into it. So, as always, you guys can email us, notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can send us anonymous asks via our Tumblr. And notcast.com takes you to our Tumblr, which right now has the current join links for both our Discord and our Telegram. And the Discord link I posted is a never-to-expire one until I have to revoke it.
Okay.
But we haven't really been using the Discord much. You know. Mm. It's primarily Telegram. Anyways, on to the emails. So okay. The first one is from, did they sign their name at the bottom? Aubryn Pinguino Supremo, titled Bach Mark II. So I just listened to the podcast from 4/3/17, and I was frankly surprised by several things. First, I was totally not expecting my letter to be read on air. Pleasant surprise that. I was mildly surprised that you didn't remember my time on 2 cents, but with time being what it is, I can't be terribly shocked. I was rather vague in my previous letters, so I guess some more about that is in order. I lived with two for the better part of a decade in Northwest Arkansas and have been a core member of NARFA since 2001. You remember Jacoby's time as co-host of the show, but I was the very next co-host after him and co-host of the show for the better part of a year. If you're familiar with the bees meme, that was my doing, and Poke the Pengy was also a thing for a while. Also had the segment on the show called The Pengy Penny, which consisting of anecdotes and one-line observational humor, and was in charge of the This Day in History segment. My run with the show lasted pretty much from 2005-2006, right up until two picked up stakes and moved away. There were occasional guest co-hosts that took my seat for a single show here and there, but I was pretty much it between Jacoby and Jibba. The other surprise came with Fuzz's story about having dinner at BJ's with the big NARFA group. I was at that dinner and completely missed him, either because he was at the far end of the table by the window who joined us after he'd been seated, or he was the guy right across from me that had bone-in pork chops, in which case I was completely oblivious. So
yeah, I was the one that came in late, and I ordered the bone-in pork chops because the waiter was telling me about the specials, pointed to the other guy who was across from you's bone-in pork chops. I was like, fuck yes, that looks good. I'll have that. So yeah, I came in super late.
Okay. In any case, I was the big biker-looking guy with the beard and black kilt, and in all likelihood, one of the louder people at the table. Should that ring any bells? In either case, I'm rather astounded at the near miss. I looked in both dealers' ends a few times for y'all's table, but I never could find it. Even popped by the game room a few times, but having no idea what either of you looked like, I just ended up staring blankly around the room trying to read badges without looking like a creeper. Alas, that technique didn't do me any good, as it turns out. So in that regard, I'm sorry I missed you guys. You asked about a con report. That has the letters run on for a bit, I'll keep it brief. This is my first con since MFF 2012, and the first con I've been that I haven't planted myself on the artist's alley, and really my first con that haven't been up in the north where most of my furry friends reside. So I certainly miss seeing old familiar faces. Fortunately, there was a bunch of NARFA guys there who have attended TFF several times in the past, so I got to meet new people through them, and I was pleasantly surprised to see a few people I've known for some time. The atmosphere was great, friendly, and open. I'm honestly not expecting to see quite so many I am a parent people walking about, though. It makes sense, given the influx of new blood films like Zootopia have brought to the fandom, and I very much approve. Still, it's just a little jarring to see four first dudes, two people spiffed out, a soccer mom, and then a guy in a short skirt and a fox head walk by. Kind of the opposite of seeing a suitor at the mall, I suppose. I couldn't help but grin and chuckle. Good on you, soccer mom. Hmm. I have failed at brevity. Anyways, good show, guys. Keep up the good work. Hope the Concred leaves Shiva soon, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. Aubryn Pinguin, we know some Prino. I mingled that. So, yeah, yes. One of the things at FWA, not FWA, fuck. There were parents at FWA. So yes. I think they've gone to doing, like, the parents in tow kind of thing, where, like, if your kid's under a certain age, you can come in free with them.
Right.
And I had a couple things. Like, these kids were, like, 12 and 13 and had, like, their own fursuit heads that they very obviously made themselves or had their parents help them make.
Uh-huh.
And they would, like, browse down the table from, like, the end with the art books all the way down to the books. And I'm like, I have stuff your kid can read. I have all ages stuff right here, please. I can tell. Let me tell you about Daughters in Space. And
please skip the Red Rusker comics. Come down here like to the Mary Loud books.
Yeah, the Mary Loud and Save the Day and The Shadows That Linger and The Necromouser and Other Magical Cat Tales and Not Huntress or the one about Macrofurs.
Actually, Huntress is sort of YA. There's some violence in it, but
okay. I just was one of those, like, I knew certain ones were A-okay, but the mom was giving me the stink eye the whole time.
Yeah.
And I did have a are you in charge, I want to talk to the manager kind of thing at Fiesta briefly.
Oh.
A panel didn't make. It was like making friends in the furry fandom. It's supposed to have a panelist. And it ended up basically being a room full of people wanting to see a panel and talking. So I guess people could make friends. But the lady was like, where's the panelist? And I'm like, I will find out. And I didn't find out.
Oh.
because I didn't have radio, but I had Telegram, and I was like, "Hey guys, what's going on here?" And I basically told on the panelists to Glass.
They're in trouble now. You're the panelist now, is what you should have told them. Like, go and make friends, Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah, no.
I'm surprised you didn't see the Fur Planet table, though. Like, it's, well, I've been told it's very recognizable now, but it's mostly by people that have seen us at a few cons. Basically, we were at a table with, like, a shitload of posters behind us that were posters for some of our book covers. We also have a big table banner with Fez and Rory and the Fur Planet logo on it. I myself was not actually at the con very much this year, so I'm not surprised you missed me. But in the future, like, if you're looking for Saverin or somebody, I mean, I would just like ask, who the fuck's in charge here in the game room? And it'd be like, that guy. And then you'd know who he was.
Let's see.
So I guess I should read the next one. Okay. Cow Orker having poly trouble. Long-time listener, first time writing in. I'm actually asking for a friend at work. Put simply, she's poly. Her girlfriend Becky isn't. My friend Melissa was upfront about her being poly when they first started dating, and at the time, Becky was okay with that. As they've gotten more serious, that changed, and now Becky's of the I should be all you need mindset. This is causing Melissa a lot of stress. So, for my question or rather questions, first, I vaguely remember someone recommending a book on poly to give their non-poly mate to read. Was that actually a thing that happened? And if so, what was it called? Second, what do you guys recommend Melissa does? She's tried to explain before, but she has trouble with it. And other than this issue, they mesh really well. Sorry if this has been a formatting nightmare. It was fine. Twilight Michael Rose.
Okay, so book-wise, now I'm not going to know if this is one of those things that I wish Shiva was here for, because she is quite good at this whole poly thing.
Yeah.
And she is, again, in the hospital, so spare her a thought. But looking on Amazon, there are a number of books out there. There is Polyamory, The New Love Without Limits, Secret Sustaining Intimate Relationships by Deborah M. Annapol. Related, also very highly rated, The Ethical Slut, A Practical Guide to Polyamory, Open Relationships, and
I've
Non-Traditional.
Heard good reviews about that one. That might be it.
Which has 295 ratings and is 4.5 stars. Likewise, More Than Two, A Practical Guide to Ethical Polyamory, and Opening Up, A Guide to Creating and Sustaining Open Relationships. All of those have more than 150 ratings and are at 4.5 stars. So, if you want some books, Amazon's got you covered, and they're about $20.
The one I could say I've definitely heard good shit about is The Ethical Slut.
And that one's the cheapest of the bunch. Mm. You can get that shit Amazon Primed. You can get it by April 15th, motherfucker! And that is by...
Use coupon code? No, wait, no.
No, by Janet W. Hardy.
Cool.
So, Ethical Slut's probably... what you're looking for. Polyamory, Open Relationships, and Other Adventures is the subtitle. So there are books out there for doing the polyamory thing. And if Shiva was here, she could probably recommend you maybe one of the books I mentioned or something else she's
read. Unfortunately in the hospital for having too many boyfriends.
Yep. And too many limbs.
Yes.
Yep. Her body's like, I've got too many limbs. I can't handle this. Ah. But anyways, so there's that.
Actual advice about what to do about Becky and Melissa. Like, Shiva would really be the best person to talk about that. And it's also like, I don't know, is it theoretical right now? Or does the poly partner actually have someone she's interested in and that she's looking to bring into the relationship?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, is it theoretical? Is it, planned? I mean
that might be across that bridge when we come to it kind of thing. But then again, you don't want to be in a 10-year relationship with someone.
Surprise, side bitch. But again, definitely, I would recommend that they sit down and talk seriously about this and probably see about your coworker getting her girlfriend to read a book, probably Ethical Slut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of see how they feel about that. Because if your coworker is super intent on having a poly slash open relationship and this other person is super not on board, then that's going to become an issue down the road.
Yeah. Some people have a big thing where they connect love and sex and they can't be unconnected.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work necessarily with a poly relationship.
So, all right. So the next email concerns Rocky Mountain Furcon again. So this one is from, seeing how they signed it, Morley Fox.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because you have the name and the from, but you want to make sure that they sign it with something like
that.
He
also says it in the salutation.
Trying to be careful. Subject, Rocky Mountain Furcon. Hi, Notcast. It's Morley again. So he had written an email 2 weeks prior asking about Rocky Mountain Furcon and our opinion and what should be done.
Right.
Obviously, we didn't record last week because I was flying off to
Foix.
And so his email was not very... no longer very applicable,
right.
But that's okay. So, hi, Notcast. It's Morley again. I sent you an email already, but I felt compelled to send another one due to recent events. You could disregard my first email, especially since any advice we give is sort of pointless. Because it was like, what do about Rocky Mountain Furcon? Well, it's killed now, so anyways. I really want to talk about RMFC. I'm a Denver local, and RMFC was my home convention. As some may know, the Furry Raiders emerged in Denver over a year and a half ago. There has been a lot of controversy surrounding them ever since. Last year, a problem arose with the RMFC room block. This situation seemed to be one of the first issues to spark a flame in the local community here, and the way RMFC handled that situation was questioned by many. The Raiders are known for doing shitty things like posting hate speech, shoving and being aggressive towards other furs at local gatherings in public, blindly disregarding rules, making threats towards others, and the list goes on. Perhaps the topic that concerns most locals is the Nazi imagery, particularly their now infamous armbands. After an uproar regarding the Raiders in the community, RMFC did eventually ban all use of their Nazi icons and imagery at the convention, but it wasn't enough. We've also learned that at least one or more Raiders were on staff. RMFC declined to remove them. This has all led to a lot of tension between the convention and the community based on the viewpoint that the staff did not take a more firm stance on the issue and frankly seemed to sweep it under the rug. And finally, just a few days ago, Kahuki, the founder of RMFC and his parent company, was discovered to still be involved in the convention after everyone thought he severed all ties following his felony charges of sexual assault on a minor in 2008. I thought it was...
Well, 2008 is when he stepped down as con chair.
Okay.
The actual assault apparently took place in 1993.
Okay, so just like, he stepped down in 2008. Anyways,
yeah.
good. We were all horrified to learn he was still involved. The community had enough. After a little over 24 hours, several people, including myself, publicly announced that we would be dropping all support of RMFC and that we would not be attending in 2017. And last night, RMFC announced they were shutting their doors for good. The statement was rather vague and failed to really address the issues. More importantly, all of it failed to claim any responsibility for mistakes the convention made regarding these issues. So here we are. RMFC is gone. The convention I loved dearly and called home for nearly 7 years in a row was gone. This is what happens when we allow hate to exist in our fandom. It's what happens when we act indecisively and foolishly. It divides us and ultimately destroys us. Speaking as a local, I can tell you the Denver community is hurting and broken. It will take some time to learn, heal, and rebuild. There is no place in this fandom for people like Kahuki Swords or the Furry Raiders. We as a fandom must put a stop to people like this. We are an open and welcoming family, but we must have standards, and we must enforce them. Take this from the story what you will. I know my personal view of the fandom I've called home for 12 years is forever changed. Stay strong, stand up for what is right, and never let anyone bring our fandom down. Morley Fox from Denver, Colorado. And I'm glad that basically it was the fandom standing up and saying, nah, fuck you guys, that basically forced the hand. Like, yeah, it really sucks that you're not going to have a con this year. And it's going to be at least a year before another convention can set up shop. But it kind of needed to happen. Like, if the con was really that cancerous, there was probably no saving it. If the person at the very, very top and someone on the board, and like there's Raiders on the staff, and you can't just rip that shit out without causing other issues, there really wasn't much to do to save it.
And
it sucks because there's plenty of good furs in Colorado. There's a number of y'all that were in our Telegram chat who were very upset by all this news, and we talked about it a lot in there. on Monday.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully, there's decent phone reception across the interstate, so I was able to kind of keep up on things.
Yeah.
And talk to people on the road.
And, you know, and I just want to say, like, Tiernan and I at various times have had a good time at RMFC. You know, we've enjoyed being dealers there. You know, we've had friends that have been on the staff there and have attended the con. And, you know, it was like a lot of cons, all the shit going on in the background you didn't really know about. But it was a good con to attend. And, I mean, I did have one of my staff say that they were made uncomfortable last year when one of the raiders approached a table, and you know, and Tiernan and I talked about that. We're like, yeah, we don't have to sell to those people, you know.
Yeah.
If they make you uncomfortable, we'll either pass them off to us or we'll ask them to leave, you know. And we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But you know, but apart from that, like the con itself, I mean, everything went pretty fine. So you know, it's really unfortunate. I think it's going to be the better thing in the long run, because this was clearly becoming an untenable situation. I mean, it was pretty shaky last year, but, you know, this year with all the drama that started up again, you know, it was just getting worse and worse.
Well, and again, speaking personally, I had basically
So I accidentally archived.
No, that's fine. We've read it. Like, I had personally been like, because of the two situation and Rocky Mountain's like raider problem, I had basically decided I wasn't going to go to either one of them. Like, but things have changed. Obviously, I'm not going to be going to RMFC ever again.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, it took a little bit, but AC did the right thing. I, you know, and I'll put that back as a potential, but it's one of those things where the fandom just has to be like, all right, well, I'm not going to support this con until they change their position.
Yeah. And this is an evolution that's going on in a lot of geek spaces right now. You've seen more and more comic and anime and sci-fi cons have anti-harassment policies put into place. And the
pushback from that.
Cosplay is not consent, which, you know, I've also seen some fur cons do, you know, as the same goes for fursuiting.
Yeah.
And yeah, there has been pushback on that, you know, which just shows how shitty some people are. You know, you're not allowed to just grab a woman's tits just because she's in sort of a scanty clad outfit from a comic character, you know? But
it's just one of those things where, yeah, it is a situation where traditionally heavily white, heavily male spaces are going to, we're, as a fandom, we are broadening out, and that's good. Mm-hmm. We are growing, and we are having people from all over the place joining the furry community and being involved in anime cons and everything else. And for people like, oh God, it's scary. We've got these other people. They're weird and different, but guess what? They're the future of the fandom just as much as we are, you know? And so having convention spaces that are inclusive, that are not people being shitty to them because, you know, you don't have people going like, oh, you're a fake geek girl at people at cons and whatnot.
Yeah, that has seemed like the dumbest fucking thing.
And so, you know, it really falls to the conventions to have codes of conduct and enforce codes of, you know, basically people, hey, don't be a shit. You know, it's being inclusive of trans attendees and accommodating people as best you can. And so, you know, it's stuff like that that it's change. And so, you know, you've got the good old boys clubs, the grognards, and the anime and comic cons. It's harder for them because those are older and more stagnant fandoms. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you look at something like furry, which is still, you know, 4 decades old at this point, easy.
Yeah.
But
as far as fandoms go, it's a relatively young
fandom. Yeah, and we can adapt.
Yeah.
And because our events are smaller, we can affect change within our community. Yeah, like the Borg.
We can adapt.
Yeah, we can adapt. And, like, you shoot us with lasers and we adapt. And you shoot us with lasers and we still die because we're human and not Borg. don't shoot us with lasers, kids.
I'm not human. I'm a fluffy wolf.
And I'm a Finnick. Therefore I must scream.
I'm shot by lasers, therefore I must scream.
Yes. you know, it's like cons like RMFC need to serve as a warning to everyone else.
Yeah.
Like,
and RF.
Yeah, and RF. Because
there was a lot of shit I saw. Not a lot of shit. There was some shit about, like, I saw a photo of, like, a trashed fountain outside the FWA hotel where somebody had thrown,
left a bunch of trash.
Like, trash, some cigarette cases and beer bottles and stuff like that. And it's like, guys, this hotel is not your shitty living room.
Yeah, and, like, you know? Apparently someone, like, defaced a wall. They drew a swastika at somewhere, and again, yeah, that was taken care of immediately. And like walking down one morning, somebody had put a bunch of stickers on a column, but it was like,
I don't know about that.
Well, I didn't take photos of it. I just was like, really? And I took a minute to peel them off, crumple them up, and take them to the trash can.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things where it's like, yo, dudes, take care of your hotel spaces because they like the money we bring, but if we're too much trouble, we lose that space.
Yeah, and it has happened before. I mean,
as in, look at RF.
Yeah, Rainforest and later Rocky Mountain need to serve as a warning to get our shit together. You know, and these fucking dumbass edgelords that think I'm going to paint a swastika because I'm such a badass. Like, there needs to be fucking zero tolerance for that kind of horseshit.
Well, apparently, like, there were some dipshits that decided to do a howl at 1:38 in the morning at Foie, right?
Yeah.
And I tweeted about it, and I was like, 1:38 a.m. is not the time for a howl, you fuck nuggets, or something like that. And it got a shitload of retweets because I used the con hashtag. And apparently, like, Denver police showed up, and people were getting literally fined for a wooing.
Yeah.
And being ejected from the con. And you know what? It didn't fucking happen Saturday and Sunday night.
Yeah.
You make a few examples, and the problem goes away.
Mm.
But, like, you know, part of the convention experience is I stalk around in con chair mode all the time.
Yeah.
I got asked if I was staff three different times over the weekend. because I looked like I knew what I was doing. And, you know, so it's like, oh, there's some trash on the floor. I'm going to pick that up, and I'm going to throw it away. There's some stickers on the wall.
You appear to be a responsible adult. Are you staff? Can you tell me where the game room is?
Yes, I'm not staff, but I'll tell you where it is. And it was just like, keep your spaces clean. Pick up after yourself. And if someone leaves their fucking empty cup, do a solid and clean it up.
Mm.
Ideally, we should all be policing our own spaces, but when it comes to cons, please, for the love of God, pick up trash, throw it away, put it in the right receptacles. The hotel will like you, the con staff will like you.
Mm.
Don't put stickers on walls, even if they are specially coated with paint that is easy to clean marks off of and easy to clean adhesive off of. Just don't. If it's a glass top table, don't sit on top of it. These are things that are simple that one should think.
If it's a glass top table, don't take a shit on it.
Do not. That's not sexy at all.
Windex, but if you put available at this booth.
Now, if you put a cat on top of it and take a photo underneath, it's pretty funny looking.
That's true. Yeah. Cat scan.
Yes. But yeah, seriously, like, I was in con chair mode anytime I was stalking. So I was just kind of stalking around, arms behind my back, looking imperious. And being like, I am here to appraise this convention. I mean, I was there to have a good time, but I was still like, I guess the way I was walking around made people think I was like a staffer a few times. Like, I was walking through the artist alley and got
No, I am an undercover shopper.
Yes.
I'm here to write to Furry Corporate about my experience at this particular furry franchise.
Well, I was walking through the artist alley and someone tapped me on the shoulder. I was like, hey, are you staff? I'm like, nope. Not for this con. And it was just like, yeah, you know, whatever.
Do you have a question about Furry Fiesta?
I can tell you about that. And the other two times were people asking directions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, are you in staff? Can you tell me where this is? Like, well, I'm not a staff, but you go up the escalator here, and it's across the way. Oh, you're looking for con ops. All right, what you do, go up the escalator here, take that up, second floor. It's right there at the top of the escalator, really easy to find. It's just like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
But again, Foie was a good time. I had a really fun time. And if you want convinced, continue to be a good time, take care of them as an attendee, and if you're on con staff, keep your fucking houses clean Otherwise, shit like RMFC happens, and we will pull out the knives and stab your con to death. Metaphorically.
Yes.
I have a new message.
So the Tumblr that I accidentally deleted was the person that was asking us to post the Telegram and Discord links, and they were like, just do it now while you're recording. You keep saying you'll do it, and you never do. It's like, but this time, Saverin actually already has.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this right now, first of all, you can go and look at the Notcast Twitter account, and 2 weeks ago, we don't post very much. Like, our recent media is very much uncommon. We don't post a lot of media to our account. Or maybe it's media that I post to the account. But anyways, yeah, so 10 days ago, there is a link to a Tumblr post that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 posts from the top of our Notcast feed.
Gonna make a 6th one now just to fuck with you.
Yep, you're just gonna fuck with me. It says Telegram and Discord. Current Telegram link, current Discord link. They're active links. Both are set to not expire. If you go to our Tumblr, you can get in. But it is a super active a group. We post porn trains all the time. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, all things considered, it's a good group. I haven't had to ban anybody permanently, though I have had to, like, temporarily kick people for being, you know, being dipshits.
What's the episode number of this episode?
346.
Okay.
Sympathy for the Devil. So, that wraps up all of our emails for this week.
Actually, we got another one that came in.
Oh, just now?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, 943.
Ah.
Of course we have heard of this. Just in case you folks haven't seen this gem, it is the link to lawyersandliquor.com, which is the
Boozy
Barrister's website. We should go ahead and post that link in the show notes also.
Yes.
Because we mentioned the song, but I don't think we actually described what
Boozy Barrister
came about. So what happened was, Boozy Barrister is the pseudonym of a guy that writes a website called Lawyers and Liquor, where his shtick is that he's a lawyer and he likes to drink. So he writes blog posts on various aspects of legal stuff. And he happened to stumble across the whole RMFC, Sovereign Citizen debacle, and basically deconstructed the C&D letter that they sent to Dio and went over some of these other issues and stuff like this. And this got the notice of people in the fandom who started retweeting his blog link and replying to him. And and one of the things he said in the article was, he's like, this sounds cool as hell. If I ever joined it, I'd be a fucking badger. So within 24 hours, he's already got like a half dozen pieces of fan art of his character as this drunken badger lawyer. And Rhubarb wrote him that ad song. You know, and he got that first piece of fan art and replied, this shit's getting framed. And he's got friends that have come out to him as furries, trying to get him to come to a con, and we'll get him all liquored up and stuff like that. So this has just been a really fun experience of like a non-fur kind of interacting with the community. And
he wrote a very farewell, nice article.
Yeah, like, and one of the things he wrote another article about was that, like, you know, we're lawyers, we really don't care what's going on with you in your personal life. You know, if you're a furry, you're into BDSM, you do this, you do that, you know, until it's relevant to the case. So if there's anything that could be relevant to the case, tell us. We're not going to judge you, you know. We don't necessarily. We're not condoning it in our own lives, but like
whatever.
You know, you like to dress up like Batman and hump. I mean,
sure,
whatever.
You are the knight.
Yeah, there you go. That wasn't his example. That was mine. But But yeah, this whole thing came about, and it was really kind of funny. And I'm also really amused that there was a furry lawyer who's a dolphin, and his name is Habeas Porpoise.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So the two of them were talking on Twitter, and I just thought that was very amusing. But yeah, we'll. Oh my God, we just got another email. Timestamp 2 minutes ago. Yay! We have a mini con report from MCFC. By the way, MCFC, Motor City Fur Con, also happened last weekend. It ran concurrently with FWA. And apparently, nothing bad happened there either. So, hooray!
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, now, admittedly, I was in the vendor hall most of the time. Like, FWA and neither con had any drama explosions. It was just, like, the only thing that really, like, amused me more than anything was the howl on Friday night, and that got stopped. So,
yeah,
I was, again, super impressed with Flaw and very happy with my attendance.
From what I could tell last weekend, both cons had attendance increases. Both cons raised money for charity.
Good
and
shit.
I just... I saw the hashtags out there, and people seem to be having a good time. It's all good. This is actually from Zirian. Do you want to read his?
Sure. It's super quick.
Okay.
So, this is from Zirian. Good dude. He helped me out a lot at FWA. Nice guy. Super short con report. What I learned from MCFC, Motor City Furry Con. Don't drink 3 solo cups of cider followed by a full glass of 20% ABV beer. Regret will follow swiftly and without mercy. Assuming this made it on time, I'll write a longer report next week. If not, then you get 2 emails from me. Learning to drink responsibly, Zirian. So, he got a little bit fucked up at
Fiesta.
TFF2.
Yeah. He should probably learn to control his
liquor. 3 cups of cider plus a 20%... what?
JDL Werewolf finished my commission.
Oh, nice. That's some good shit. You'll post it to Twitter shortly, yeah. I'm sure. So, yeah, Zirian, don't, dude. Nice. That is a nice pick.
Whack, whack, whack.
I want to get their Talk Shit Get Bit shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I like their designs, but the Talk Shit Get Bit's probably the one that I would get from them.
I got their Werewolf Menthol shirt.
Yeah, the Legalize a Woo and the Lunatic's
and
one.
The Lunatic one I really like is his chubby werewolf with the guitar. And it's Lunatic. It's super cool.
It's good shit.
Yes.
Okay, provided, like, what time is it? Okay, we're about 1:31 of the recording, minus any edits that I have to make, which just means, like, minor tweaks and making us sound more coherent.
Mm-hmm.
Take out the ums and ahs a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. So, that's going to wrap it up for this show. It is 10 o'clock at night, and Fuzz has to go because he has to go be an adult.
I'm sorry, I have work tomorrow. Well,
I have shit to do, too, so... Anyways, thank you guys for listening. You can always find us on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at SavinDrake. You can find me on YouTube at justafox.com. I haven't posted anything since we wrapped up Night in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a little busy. I've got shit to post. I got some Deep Rock Galactic with Leatherneck, and also have some... I don't know if I'll do anything with the video. We failed a bunch playing Gungeon co-op. It's like, I want, basically, if I'm going to be posting gaming stuff, it'll probably be co-op shit from now on, because that's better. So, mm-hmm. Fuzz, come over and play video games with me, okay?
Oh,
Or watch them and talk with me.
Yeah, if it's something that I might be interested in, sure.
Yeah, anyways, and my Twitch channel, I'm terrible, so just ignore that. Fuzz, what about you?
You can find me in the usual place, at FuzzWolf on the Twitter. I publish books and comics with my mate, and you can find our print website is furplanet.com, and our ebook website is baddogbooks.com. Those sites also have Twitters at furplanet and at baddogbooks. In 2 weeks, you can find myself, Saverin, and Zia all in Austin, Texas at HavenCon.
Yay!
I will have a table there, so I will have, I think I just have the one booth, so I'll see what I can fit in there, but I will bring some of my stuff, And we will sell some things, and you know, maybe make some inroads into the LGBT community. Yeah, we got plenty of gay shit and plenty of sci-fi. It's a geek con, so I'll bring all my sci-fi stuff.
You gotta get some copies of Kismet, dude.
Yes, so stock up on Kismet.
Like, I seriously used the like Furry Meets the Expanse pitch on the one copy we had, and dude was like, yes.
Awesome. So awesome.
You better have some fucking copies of that shit, dude.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we will stock the fuck up. Actually, I think I've ordered some.
Sure, just waiting
coming in. Yeah.
we sold through a bunch of books at FWA.
Yeah.
Like, there were several that we just ran the fuck out of. Most of the Sampico stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, goddamn, I love their stuff. It's my current wallpaper, phone wallpaper, again!
Yes. Different characters this time. Do you still have Judy on your desktop?
Yeah, she's still on my desktop, and I got Nick by Zen over there, but I have a cute Vaporeon as my lock screen and a Pokemon Orgy by Chain Decay, the colored version, as my background. And the icons, like, cover everything until you flip to the last page and there's just one icon, and holy shit, there's some fucking going on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, so, on that note, good night.
And big balls.